Ich begrüße dich zu einer weiteren Folge Stark und Schön. Kann man eigentlich jetzt mittlerweile schon CrossFit-Episodes nennen? Denn ich habe hier eine weitere Games-Athletin zu Gast. Ein sehr, sehr cooles Gespräch. Auf Englisch sogar. Und ich muss ganz ehrlich sagen, ich bin immer noch sehr aufgeregt, vor allem wenn ich auf Englisch spreche. Also entschuldige bitte den ein oder anderen grammatikalischen Fehler. Aber man wächst ja an seinen Aufgaben und das Gespräch war super, super cool. Jacqueline ist ursprünglich aus Norwegen, wohnt jetzt aber auf Mallorca und ist die Freundin von John Singleton, dem Owner vom Programm. Und der war ja schon bei Dome im Interview. Und ja, Jacqueline fliegt dieses Jahr oder ist wahrscheinlich auch schon bei den Games und erzählt so ein bisschen von ihrer Vergangenheit, von ihrem Tag. Ich finde es immer super spannend, wie so ein Athletenalltag aussieht und erzählt, was für sie gerade wichtig ist, wie sie sich vorbereitet, wie sie sich mental vorbereitet, was ihre Routinen sind. Und ich habe ein bisschen gescrollt und Jacqueline war auch mal auf der Bühne, sogar zweimal. Und da erzählen wir auch ein bisschen drüber. Also es wird sehr, 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 sehr spannend. Und falls du es noch nicht gemacht hast, melde dich beim Power Girl Camp an. Denn das wird so ein richtig cooler Tag mit Workshops und Workouts. Und du wirst einfach so eine grandiosen, fabelhaften Vibes bekommen und so viel lernen, was du einfach in deine kompletten Lebensbereiche mit übernehmen kannst. Also klar, es geht hauptsächlich um deinen geilsten Trainingstag. Aber wir werden auch ganz viel über Ernährung sprechen, wir werden über Mindset sprechen, wir werden über Entspannung sprechen. Du wirst nach dem Camp deine Rest Days genießen können. Was sagst du dazu? Aber wenn du so hibbelig bist wie ich, dann verstehst du sicherlich auch, dass es das nicht immer so einfach ist. Und vor allem auch, wie man hart und smart trainiert, weil viele können hart trainieren. Aber manchmal ist weniger einfach mehr und das Camp ist einfach dafür da, dass du richtig viel Spaß hast, aber auch, dass du richtig viel mit nach Hause nehmen kannst, um deine Ziele zu erreichen. Ja, auf powergirlcoaching.de kannst du dich anmelden und ich freue mich auf jeden Fall, wenn du dabei bist. Und jetzt wünsche ich dir viel Spaß bei dieser Folge und wir hören uns später nochmal.
Welcome to another English episode of the Stark und Schön podcast episodes. And today I have a special guest right preparing for the CrossFit Games. It's Jacqueline Dahlström. And she's right now the second time is driving to the CrossFit Games. So yes, I want to invite you to introduce yourself shortly and then we will do the questions.
Thank you. Yeah, so you said my name is Jacqueline Dahlström. I'm from Norway, I'm currently living in Spain, Mallorca, been living here now for 3 years. So yeah, this is where I'm doing my training and have been preparing for the season this year. So yeah, I actually got to meet you guys as well when you were here on a holiday a couple of weeks ago. So that was nice.
Yeah.
So, from Norway, living in Spain, I'm turning 30 this year.
Ooh.
So, so yeah, starting to get grown up. I can't look at myself as a kid anymore. I've been doing CrossFit now, I would say, on a competitive level since 2016 was my first regionals. And then kind of like in 2017 is when I started, going a bit more serious, two sessions a day and focusing more on kind of CrossFit as a career as such. Actually worked as a teacher before, maths and science teacher, so it's completely changed in direction.
So you're full-time athlete since 5 years now.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Wow. Since in 2017, after regionals in 2017 is when I started traveling with John, which is my partner and coach. So that's like I quit my job. We traveled for a year. And I guess you can say that, yeah, since at late 2017, basically the only thing I've been doing is CrossFit. So, yeah.
Wow.
Doing some, yeah.
Oh, I interrupted you.
an hour. And I'm doing some work on the side, like, you know, coaching. And John's got an online business with the program, so helping him with the program. So I still need to work, but I think I'm living as close to the athlete life as you. Well, there's obviously some people that can live 100% of sponsorship, but I'm lucky in the sense that I'm living quite close to, like, yeah, athlete life, if you can put it like that.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So can you describe the feeling to make it to the CrossFit Games? So as you said before, you were a CrossFit athlete for a long time now and very ambitious into this. So the goal was already doing it, making it to the CrossFit Games. So you are now the second time there, but how is the feeling to make it happen?
No, it felt great. It was a bit, for us in Europe this year, was a bit strange because you didn't get that that kind of high, if you can put it like that, of, you know, being on the competition, so having the crowd around, being on the podium and, like, get like punching a ticket like that. We had to wait. We uploaded our results. We waited to 10 o'clock, then the results were live. We still had to wait because the scores weren't submitted. So I think... you didn't get that kind of the same high as you would have gotten on the competition floor. But that being said, it's, you know, if it's great when you manage to reach your goal. We've been training towards this for so long now, and then, you know, when you make it and all the hard work do pay off, and you kind of see that you get the proof that the work that you put in works. That, you know, it's an amazing feeling. So excited for the game.
Yeah. And how was your? How was your first time on the competition floor of the game? So it was in 2019. And can you remember the Definitely. Feeling to make it there and standing on the floor?
So in 2019, I actually qualified because then we had a different way of qualifying. So I qualified as top 20 in the world through the Open. But also had two sanctional wins. So I had a very good, very strong start of the 2019 season. But then unfortunately during French, I managed to get an injury. So then during the games, I actually went to the games injured. And probably if it wasn't for the fact that it was my first year, I probably wouldn't have gone. But, you know, you're a games rookie. You don't necessarily know if you're going to make it back again. You know, it's not a given that you're going to qualify for the CrossFit Games. So you never know what's going to happen. So I made the decision to go anyway and, you know, just do what I could do, basically. But I remember being out on the floor and just trying to, like, just soak in as much as I could, just all the impressions of being there, you know, standing next to those big names that you've been looking up to for so many years. So being on the floor and being able to kind of reach that goal for the first time was an amazing feeling. But at the same time, you know, a bit disappointing that, you know, you're injured and you're kind of not being able to perform as you want to perform. But I obviously knew that going into the weekend. So my goal was just to just enjoy every workout that I got to do on the competition floor, knowing that, you know, I am going to be cut sooner than I want to be. So just then, you know, making the most of the time that I had on the floor, basically. So it was amazing. I remember the first workout, standing there on the turf, and just, you know, you've just seen this on TV, and then all of a sudden you're there yourself, or just picking up the clothes with your name and the number on for the first time. It was a really cool, a cool experience.
I can feel it. So do you have some key learnings from your first experience? Because I guess it's something like different to other bigger CrossFit competitions because it has a bigger value for you as an athlete.
Well, so since I didn't get to, you know, I didn't get to push in the same way as I would have if I was healthy. So I probably would have made even more kind of lessons if I could have competed properly. But going in, I do think that, you know, being able to enjoy the moment and then, you know, execute to the best of your ability, and then kind of being aware that you're not going to be able to win every event. And just as long as you know that you did your best, you you need to be happy, basically. So that's kind of going to be my goal this year. But I'm not saying I'm going to go soft or anything. But trying not to, you know, necessarily always just put yourself down because, you know, someone else did better than you. If you knew, if that's my best performance, then try to be happy with that.
So right now you're completely injury-free and healthy?
Yes. Yeah, I am. So I'm very excited.
Yeah,
very excited for this season now, finally.
So
that'll be fun.
Yesterday, I scrolled through your Instagram as I prepared for the podcast, and I had the question, what is your background? And I saw that you were on stage in bodybuilding.
Yes.
So I was like a creep just to the oldest pigs. So can you share some experiences? So because right now I'm preparing for the stage in autumn for the first time, and you looked amazing. It was very great.
Oh, thank you. I'm amazed though, because you have then been scrolling many years back.
Yes.
So I think this was in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are right. I did do body fitness, as we call it in Norway. So I competed in that twice. For me, it was more that was a stage in my life where I didn't necessarily have any goals with my training. I've always been very active and enjoyed to train, but I haven't done any professional sports or anything like that. So I haven't had any goals of like with my training. So just my throat is killing me a bit. So I just wanted to see if I could make it into that shape, basically. So it's more very like because you have to be very stubborn, and then just the whole diet thing, I would say, is definitely the hardest, being so disciplined for so long, getting into that shape. And you probably, you know what I'm talking about, going through it now yourself. It's funny how you kind of, you know, you put up pictures of yourself on the stage and people are like, oh, you look so amazing. But for me, that was, you know, I've never been in worse shape in my life ever. I was passing out behind this, like, backstage because, you know, you're so dehydrated and tired and empty. And so it was, like I said, it was something I wanted to do to see if I just had the mental strength to kind of go through something like that. And it definitely did teach me a lot about my body, my, you know, my food, what I can do, what I can't do. So I think it was a very useful journey as such. Looking at CrossFit, I also think it did help my CrossFit because I had 2 years with a lot of strength training. So I had a lot of them. I was relatively strong when I then started CrossFit. Because like when I decided I didn't want to necessarily compete in body fitness anymore because it didn't give me... You know, I wanted to see if I could do it. And then I also did realize if I wanted to, if you want to compete at like a higher level for me there, then either I'm going to have to spend years doing it or you have to go and cheat. And I didn't want to go through that route, basically, of putting things in my body that is not good for my body. So I wanted to change the training into focusing on just performance instead of aesthetics. And that's when I found CrossFit. I did start CrossFit though, not wanting to compete, because having been so strict through the 2 years doing body fitness, where you have to be like, you know, dialed in and everything, weigh all your food, you have to be, you can probably sign on that you have to be very structured. I was like, I'm done with competing. I'm never going to compete in anything again. I'm going to train to be healthy and I'm going to have fun. And now I'm just taking it to like a whole new level, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I totally understand what you mean, because for me it's a kind of experience thing too. So I just want to know that I am capable to be mentally disciplined and to have this experience. But I also love the performance sports like CrossFit or strength training. So I can understand it. But I guess you learned a lot about yourself, which will pay off now, right now in your CrossFit career.
Absolutely. I learned a lot about myself and, like I said, about my body and about food in general, like what my body needs, what my body don't need. So I think going through that whole stage of, like, you know, weighing all your food, has made me now very aware that I'm not that strict on food now. I eat varied and I eat a lot of food, but I'm not weighing and tracking my macros. Yeah. That's like, I'm never, that's harsh. I do it sometimes just to check in that I'm, to make sure that I'm eating enough. But that's something I told myself, that like, I'm never going to go to this extreme ever again. Cause it was, you know, you're going out on dinner and then you're bringing your lunchbox because you have to eat exactly what you say. No, but I did learn a lot about myself, and I don't think I would be where I am today without that journey. So it was very useful. And you know, I did hours of cardio. So I do think it also gave me a good base of conditioning.
Good base, yes, yeah. You know, I guess, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have some
walking
kind of, and you have, a great muscle connection, great feeling of your muscles and coordination, which some CrossFit athletes just have to learn in their path.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just useful. Like, you know, I came into CrossFit then with, a 120 back squat and then the same in the deadlift and relatively heavy bench. So I had to learn all the skills, but at least I had the strength there to kind of support it. I didn't have to focus that much on the strength in the beginning, which, obviously made it easier.
So you said that you're not tracking your calories and macros. So as nutrition is a big part, I guess, in performance sports too, how do you manage it? Because you have, I guess, 2 to 3 sessions a day, so you have to eat a lot and you have to eat the right things between the sessions to be capable to perform too. So can you just mention how you do this?
No, so like I said, I'm not tracking, but I will track every now and then, like I said, just to make sure that I'm hitting my calories. But I only eat 3 big meals a day. So I have a big breakfast, a big lunch, and then a big dinner before I go to bed. And then just, I'm the kind of, because I do train a lot of hours every day, I struggle to eat enough. And now with the heat in Mallorca as well, it makes it even harder to eat enough. So I have my 3 big meals, making sure that I then get enough protein and enough carbs, and then, you know, just fruits and vegetables to get the micronutrients as well. But then just on top of that, I just drink carbs through my session. I make sure I always have candy or, you know, rice cakes or something that I can have straight afterwards. I do take, I would have like a second snack before bed, so to make sure, just some Greek yogurt with some fruits and granola. So it's like, for me, actually now eating is more of like a bit of a, like a stress. It feels like almost the hardest part of the training at the moment, because if I don't eat enough, I'm not going to perform, and it does affect me a lot. So I do have to make sure that I eat enough. So I'm now trying to make it a bit easier for myself by also drinking my calories, just because I struggle so much now in the heat. But you said, how do I make, I think that was part of your question, like how do I make sure that I kind of get enough?
Yes.
And I think this is also through kind of the process and everything I went through. I do know my body very well, and I do feel when I've had enough. Like I get very flat and I don't have energy, and that's when I know that, okay, you know, I need to eat more today. So I think if you just know your body and you listen to what it got to tell you, you can come a long way without having to necessarily track everything you eat.
I like this approach. So you drink all the banana juice in between your sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
No, you did mention Alex, in the introduction. So I've actually had her help me a bit with nutrition as well. But that's mainly just around just my period. This is just like being like females having issues that we just have, and, you know, going through the hormonal cycle. So I've just got some help from her to make sure that I optimize my nutrition around my period, and then especially the days where I tend to feel a bit low. So that's the kind of the only thing. I was very, when I approach in the beginning, I was very like, I do not want to track. I do not want to be like super strict with it, but I would like some guidance because I'm sure that there is something that I can do to make, you know, my symptoms and deal with this in a better way. So that's the only way that I've kind of got some help on the nutrition way at the moment.
Oh, this is interesting. So I want to ask you how the cycle impacts your performance. In which areas do you feel it?
So I feel it worse, like the days before my period, so just before I get my period, and then the first day, that's when I feel, you know, I can really feel it. So 2 days prior and then the first day, that's when it really affects me. I would say, you know, my partner would probably find this, but like a week before, I sometimes turn into a bit of a bitch. But this is also part of what with, you know, with Alex that I've tried to now kind of dial in, so my hormones, and I don't get as bad PMS. So from like a performance perspective, it's like 2-3 days out, I start feeling it, I get quite flat. And it's actually longer conditioning sessions that I will feel it the most. So I would crash, and it's quite usually, even though I kind of know it now because I've done it so many times, it still always comes as a bit of a surprise, and I get very down when I do crash. Since for me, it's mainly the longer sessions that I feel it. And then in general, I have a bit more inflammation in my body. It's a bit more pain than what I usually would do. I don't recover as well as I do. So I try to sleep a bit more that week leading up to it.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. How much do you sleep a day at night?
So my goal is 10 hours. I don't always manage to get that, but I always sleep at least 9. So it's 9 to 10 hours every night. Okay. Less than 9. I try to aim for 10.
Okay, because this is very important for the amount of work you put in. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's sleep, food, and I would also say hydration on top of the training. If that's not on point, then you're kind of wasting a lot of the training as well. In some points, in terms of you know, not recovering fully. So
I'm very interested into the mental preparation of the into the CrossFit Games and also in training and so on. So how do you prepare mentally?
This is also something that I've started with actually this year. I started journaling every evening, for example, just to write down, you know, what's the goal for the next day, what went well this day, what would you want to change this day, I think it's good to just reflect on your day before you go to bed. And then it can kind of also make you a bit more aware and also a bit more accountable of, like, you know, what could you do good today? What could you have done better today? That's one of the things that I've started doing, and I found that helps a lot for me. And actually, I do, when it comes to movement and competition time, I do use a lot of visualization. So that's quite useful for me. I kind of visualize myself doing the workout or doing the movement, how I'll react, and then in that way I have kind of some strategy going into it. So, you know, I know, like, well, you obviously can't foresee everything that is going to happen, but I've kind of tried to think through in my head, you know, what might happen and how are you going to react to that when it happens. So I just try to come as prepared as possible, basically, and, you know, focus on yourself and what you can do, as cliche as it might be. But yeah, I think on the mental side is where a lot of athletes probably could gain a lot.
Do you have an example for the visualization? How do you do this? Do you listen to music, or how do you approach it in some kind of movements, or is it more into workouts where you have to really push hard?
So it depends. So we can take, for example, like the quarterfinal an example. So the first workout was, I don't remember if it was the first workout now, but the workout would, like, it was the dumbbell, the handstand pushups, and the double under. So then I would actually, before, I would just lie, I did that in the morning, so I was lying in bed, and I just visualized the whole workout, like every double under, every handstand pushup, how I was going to transition. So I just had it very clear in my head what I was going to do. So in a workout like that, I think I would actually, like I said, just visualize the whole thing and then make sure that I stick to it. Because then if I know how to transition and I've done it before, I don't leave any room for you know, messing around or wasting time in the transitions. So that was a workout that I knew that I could push. I didn't have to break. I knew that, you know, this is just like, you know, everything quick and unbroken. So in cases like that, I would just, just visualize me pushing and then succeeding pushing. And that worked well for me in that case. When it comes to, for example, a snatch, then it's more about like, you know, body positioning and just, you know, what I need to think about. I then like to actually watch someone lifting that lifts well and kind of like with the technique that I aim to lift with before and then kind of visualize myself doing the same. So also find that quite useful. This is something I didn't use that much before, and I was like, you know, people are over exaggerating, it's not that powerful, but I've actually realized that it can be very powerful if you do use it correctly.
Mm. Oh, what's the effect on the quarterfinals workout with the handstand push-ups? Do you felt more prepared?
So one of the things that I've previously struggled a bit with is double under pressure. So I did actually manage. I didn't trip once on the double unders. So I would say that it did. I felt like it worked out. and just coming in like a bit more confident, like, you know, what you do tell yourself matters. If I do keep repeating to myself, like, you know, you're going to trip, you do end up tripping. Well, actually now by doing this, you visualize yourself not tripping, and I tell myself, you know, you can always do double on this. I would say it did help. I don't think it works for everyone. You know, you need to find what you like and what kind of works for you.
I guess there are so many ways to do this. So you have just to find your own way. So do you even start to visualize the games? So standing on the floor?
Not yet, but I will probably do some when I kind of know the workouts more. So I haven't started thinking about that now. Now it's more just trying to put myself in the right mindset of like, you know, how just in general of how I want to attack the weekend. But I haven't started like putting myself on the floor yet. I think that would come once I've seen there. Because then this is also for me, it doesn't work unless I know how it looks. Because then otherwise it kind of feels fake. So as soon as I've kind of seen the rig, I know how it looks. I'll probably start doing it a bit more.
So you said that you are journaling in the evening. Do you have some other kind of routines during your day or even into your training process?
We started quite simple. We started just with the journaling, and then also with the journaling I would do some visualization in the evening with like movements that I could like struggle with, for example. I would just kind of visualize like how I should be doing them. There are also some research showing that actually you do build up kind of, I don't know if it's muscle memory, but you do kind of, your brain is kind of doing the movements when you do visualize as well. So it's quite quite interesting when you start looking into it. But that's what I'm keeping it to now. I don't want it to take away too much as well. It needs to be done in a way for me that it's not kind of like a hassle or stressor when I'm doing it.
Okay. And the second you are on the floor and it's just counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, what is in your mind, or do you blend out everything?
I do tend to block out things. I'm just kind of like in my zone. I do love that feeling of the 3, 2, 1 go. And then once it's go, I'm in my own zone. I won't, if you ask me, I would not remember the music. You might see me like, you know, sing with or kind of go with the music because I would do go into kind of like a flow, but I wouldn't know what song I was singing afterwards if you ask me. So when it's go time, I'm really much kind of in my zone. And that again depends a bit on the workout. Like, you know, some workouts you flow better in than others, but I do. I'm probably a bit stressed before, but as soon as like the go is on, I'm in my lane and in my my kind of head, doing my best. This has to go.
So, did games take place in 3 weeks? I guess 3 weeks now from now on? Yes. So right now, can you describe one day of your training?
Yeah, I can. So I usually get up at 8. Quite spoiled like that. So John will always bring me coffee in the morning in bed. We leave here 8:30. So I've got quite a quick morning. I like to sleep as long as I can, as you probably understood. So we're leaving here 8:30, and then I would always eat my breakfast actually in the car. So I have my oats in the car. Again, I can struggle to eat one early in the morning and then eat a lot of food. And we have about like a 15-20 minute drive into the gym. So then that's like makes my eating a bit more relaxed. We meet at the gym at 9. I usually spend an hour actually every day just warming up. So that's also the hour of my training where I'm not as focused and things are not like kind of as stressful. So I'm quite enjoying that, like 1 hour, okay, you get to the gym, you're warming up, you're doing your mobility, your rehab, your prehab exercises, but it's still chilled, you can have fun, you can talk around, you can be a bit on your phone. And then like around 10 we will start the session, and that's when, you know, and I'm not on Instagram anymore and you kind of have to focus. I'm really actually enjoying that that 1 hour of it being a bit relaxed before it gets serious. And also the first session would then be about like 2.5 hours. We then have around like a 3 hour break. In the break, I would, depending on how much work I have to do, I do tend to do some work in the break, obviously eat and then try to have a nap. And then basically just do it all on repeat. I do not warm up for an hour for my second session. So my warm up for the second session is very quick. It's relatively warm and you've done all that. So then it's just basically going. But that would be anywhere from like 60 minutes to 2 hours, a bit depending on what we're doing. And then home, cook, eat, watch the series, sleep. And that on repeat. It's very boring being an athlete sometimes. It's like it's the same on repeat every day.
Yeah. Do you do rather conditioning in the morning or strength training, or does it depend on the day, or what is the approach right now?
So we actually tend to mix it up a bit, just because we never know what we when we have to do things in CrossFit. But right now we've been more into like strength in the morning, conditioning and CrossFit in the evening. And me personally, I actually prefer maybe doing conditioning, like longer steady state conditioning in the morning and then lifting and higher intensity in the evening, just because my body feels a bit looser and I feel a bit better in the evening. But that being said, strength is also where I have to push a bit more. So having it in the morning means that I'm fresh when I'm doing the strength. So it's kind of like a two-sided story to it as such. If like the conditioning and the CrossFit is very hard in the morning, it would then affect the lifting in the evening. And since the lifting is where I you need to push more in a way, we have now had that in the morning most of the time.
Okay, are there some other key areas you focus on right now?
So we train quite varied. You know, we're doing everything, so we don't necessarily have a single focus. For me, being just naturally better at like bodyweight gymnastics, and I'm a smaller athlete, so like the strength number and like, you know, shifting weight is harder for me. I would just naturally then push the strength more to the boundary, and then maybe sometimes hold a bit back on the gymnastics part. So I still need to do it, but make sure that I don't push so much that I can't give my all in the parts where I have to like really improve, if that makes sense. I'm training very varied, but I'm just kind of choosing where to, you know, give my best, basically, depending on what I need the most on that day.
So because you're right now in, there's a short amount of time till the CrossFit game will start. So I guess it has to be varied. So, yeah.
Yeah, it does. And now with, you know, CrossFit, we've added in more running. We did like a very long swim and paddle session for the session number 2. So we're doing more outdoor stuff and not so normal stuff now, just to prepare for what might come to the game. So like more swimming, more running, more biking, odd objects and stuff like that. Sprinting, we did hurdles the other day, for example. Oof. So, but other than that, we also keep the CrossFit part and just keeping it varied. Like, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be 15 events, so you're going to have to be prepared for a lot.
For everything.
Yeah.
So it was pronounced that there will be something like paddling or in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first event, he said it was going to be a long swim and then a long paddle. So we know the first event, and we know now that it's going to start on Wednesday. But that's all we know for now. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been 14 unknown events.
Yeah. So what does a CrossFit athlete needs to have in your view?
So I think for like if kind of we were to meet someone out and decide whether, you know, they got potential or not, I think one, it's you do have to kind of have an ability to suffer, because you know to get to the point and to get the conditioning and everything where you need to be. And then just with how CrossFit is, like if you're kind of shy and you don't want to hurt, I don't think you're going to reach like your true potentials. You need to be able to suffer and, you know, be in that pain cave. And other than that, it's like just being coachable. So, you know, when I'm not saying someone has to move perfectly when you meet them, but like when you give them cues that they manage to improve and change and implement what you say. I think that's maybe the most important thing. You know, there's people that are relatively good, but they can't make tweaks and they can't make changes, so then they will never reach their full potential. But whilst others are better at changing and adapting and, you know, improving techniques, I would say being coachable, and then just obviously, like, you do have some genetics in place as well. Like, you need to be able to get to a certain level in strength and a certain level in conditioning and stuff like that. But yeah, being coachable and wanting to suffer is definitely high on the list.
Especially for you and your partners, your coach.
Yeah, it can get quite intense sometimes when we have so many things mixed together.
But, yeah. But it's very interesting. I guess it's a great point to grow for both.
Yeah, it gives a lot of opportunities for growth. that's for sure. You just have to kind of go within yourself and like take a deep breath now. But yeah, it goes well most of the times, and then sometimes, you know, it's a bit of a crash. But I think that's how it is with most people that spend so much time together.
Yeah.
How it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess you trust them 100%, and so it's good to grow together, to name it like
this. Yeah, of course. Like, and you know, he knows me very well now. John's been coaching me now since 2017. He obviously knows me very well as an athlete, and can see. It's easy for him to get a bigger picture of me and what I need to work on than what I do. You know, I do sometimes disagree, try to, like, you know, I don't think this is what I need to work on. But he's proven me wrong almost every time. So I just have to have faith. There's no doubt that I wouldn't have made it so far, like this far, if it wasn't for his help, because he has he's made a lot of... helped me a lot, especially with movement efficiency, because I would say that's probably where he's the best.
What is your favorite part in CrossFit?
I would say the variance, that and this is maybe also what sometimes gets a bit frustrating, but the fact that you never I would never get to a point where I can't get better, which is also sometimes frustrating. There's so many things that you have to be good at, and so many things you need to learn. So it keeps that kind of element of what's the right word? Like challenge. You get constantly challenged and constantly, you know, develop as an athlete, and you always have to grow and learn new things. So I think that's one of the things that I enjoy the most. It's just so you become so kind of athletic in a way. There's so many things that you can do that, you know, when I first started CrossFit, like, you can ask the people that I went to school with. I remember when we had sports, I couldn't even do a headstand. Like, I was terrible. And now I'm, like, you know, walking my hands over obstacles. You know, so I'm doing things now that I never thought I would ever do, which is really cool, especially considering that I started doing CrossFit at such a kind of late, or, like, I was relatively old starting CrossFit. So, you know, being able to learn all these things in your mid-20s, I didn't think I would. I didn't ever expect me to be able to do that. So that's maybe one of the things that I enjoy the most. I also do enjoy the, you know, the community that comes with CrossFit. So I think when you walk into a CrossFit gym, you get the sense of belonging to a community without having to do team sports. So I would say, like, when you just train in the global gym, you don't, you know, then you're very much alone. But actually doing CrossFit, you're training alone, but you're still in a group environment, and you're kind of being kept accountable for that. We actually opened a gym here on the island a year ago, and it's so cool to see, you know, people making friends and meeting each other, getting new connections, and just that kind of community that has been created at that gym. Just, you know, people that I never would have met, and we've kind of been able to bring them together. So that's what I enjoy the most with the sport.
Yeah. So it's for people who love to compete and love having a team, but they love to compete for themselves.
yeah, exactly. And we actually have, like, you know, CrossFit kind of training, or functional training, you know, it is, everyone can do it. And I think it is so good for people to do as well, instead of just going and lifting weights in with the machine, where you kind of, like, your range of motion is locked. So I do think just seeing, like, you know, we had people come into the gym that couldn't do burpees in the beginning. I had to scale it down to, like, down ups and boxes, and now just being able to do, you know, multiple burpees and just helping people kind of realize and improve like that, it's been very it's a very nice thing to kind of see and do and be able to do as well.
Yeah. Are there some exercises or workouts which you dislike or really don't want to do this if you read this on the table?
I think I definitely have movements that, you know, I'm worse with than others, but I wouldn't say that I have something that, like, I see and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm not the necessarily the biggest fan of swimming, but I'm trying to change that. But no, this, I wouldn't say I have one movement that I, like, very, like, dislike as such. But there's, you know, it's obviously, like, you know, doing a salt bike sprint, it's going to hurt and it's not enjoyable. And there's a lot of things that I do that, you know, it's just going to hurt a lot. And I don't necessarily want to put myself into that place, but I wouldn't say it's the movement in itself. It's more like the intensity that you bring to the movement that makes it hard, I would say.
Yeah, for me, it was, as I read some workouts on the table as I was into CrossFit, and the hardest workouts, I was some kind of excited to do this so that I can say afterwards, I survived. So do you know what I mean? So you have some kind of love to suffer, as you said it before.
You definitely need to like that part of the training if you want to do kind of CrossFit training.
Yeah. Okay. So right now you're just standing before taking off to the USA, I guess. So which aspects right now are taking into consideration before taking off, and what do you have to prepare? And I would like to hear this.
Yeah, so this year has been quite different, and John could probably go on about this for hours, but the planning this year's games has been quite tricky. First of all, we can't travel now directly from Schengen into the States. They've kind of blocked every country in the Schengen as, like, a red country. So to travel into the States, you need to spend 14 days in, you know, in, like, a green country before you fly into the States. So that was one of the kind of tricky things, that, you know, we can't fly from Spain straight to the States. So we were looking at the options of going to, you can go to Dubai, you can go to Mexico, and like, you know, the Bahamas, Caribbean, stuff like that. So we were kind of looking at, that's what we were originally then, you know, planning for, like having to spend 2 weeks somewhere else and then go to the States. Then, of course, they did say that they were going to try to get us this letter from Homeland that would give us like an exception of going straight to the States. So we were kind of holding off to the very last minute to see if they would be able to get us that approval to travel or not. So actually, we were literally like seconds away from booking. We were going to go to Aruba, which I think would have been really cool. At first, I was like, this is going to be very expensive. It's a lot of extra travel. But then when you kind of change the mindset, like, you know, this is the only option of getting to the States, then I should realize that going there would probably be quite cool. Next time I do this, I need to have some water close by. But long story short, eventually, like literally the day we were supposed to book the flight, we got the letter from CrossFit saying that Homeland have now kind of confirmed that they're going to give us the exemption, so we don't have to travel to Aruba anyway. So now we are going to go straight from Spain to the States. I'm flying this Sunday, so in four days.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. We're flying this Sunday and flying straight in. So hope, just kind of crossing my fingers that everything is going to be smooth. It's kind of always like this flying to the States, you know, you never... I've got my ESTA and everything is approved as such, but then I'm never going to breathe out like fully and relax until I'm actually over the border. So long story short, this year has not been as easy to plan because of COVID, and you can't just travel straight in. There's a lot of like, you have to quarantine if you're not vaccinated, so you had to make sure that we're vaccinated before we go. So that was things we obviously need to sort. Just finding like hotels and Airbnbs in Madison now also, and like Chicago surroundings have been very hard actually, and car rental. And so I think the COVID has probably like affected a lot of things. But I would say like just the organization of the trip is obviously what needs to be in place before we travel. And that has been, you know, John has spent hours trying to put it all together. And I don't think I think we're more or less there now, but I think there's still some like a few details that needs to be put in place. Just a bit back and forth. And we're going to travel with Gabby and Christoph. So we're going to be, four people traveling over, so, you know, finding something that everyone's happy with and stuff like that as well. So yeah, so because of COVID now, it's been making sure that I get my vaccination. I need to get the PCR before we fly. Waiting for the NIE, I think it's called, from CrossFit. So just like that's like the final thing that I need now. So other than that, you know, just packing in the bag. just as long as at least I have my passport on my bank, like my card. If I do forget something, you can get it in the States. But yeah.
Is it important to be there some weeks before, just for the climate change and changing of the time zones and something like this? Do you feel the impact is great?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is just getting used to the time zone. So we're flying over 2 weeks before check-in. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be fine for us. The check-in is on the Monday, and then the game starts on the Wednesday. So we have 2 weeks to get used to the new time zone. Since we're in Mallorca and it's relatively hot here, I don't like the climate. It's going to be, you know, we have a great training location here. So for the climate, I wouldn't say we necessarily have to travel that early. But for me, it's kind of also nice to do travel away, because then you're leaving everything that you kind of have at home, and all the responsibilities that you have at home, you're kind of leaving away, and it's kind of like, you would turn it into like, okay, now it's games prep, and you can kind of focus more. So I quite enjoyed that part of traveling over earlier as well, because it gets even more focused. So it'd be good. We get 2 weeks to, like I said, the main thing would be get used to the time zone.
Yeah,
be good.
So At the end, I want to ask you if the do you have a special goal for the CrossFit Games this year?
So this is something that I've been thinking about a lot and also discussed with Alex also actually helps me with the mindset stuff. So I've not put a goal in terms of placing. You know, I'm thinking to myself, it would be really cool to make top 10. But that being said, with 15 events, and you never know what you're going to be tested in. I obviously know that, you know, there's certain things that I'm better in than others. And then it's just like the feel that I'm going to compete against now, you know, it's nothing like I've ever competed against before. So it's very hard to know. And then also with COVID and not having done any live competitions, like I've not done online competitions, obviously. I'm very happy with how I did in the semifinal for Europe. You know, I got no clue how that holds up to the Americans. So my goal for the games is that I just want to go in to every workout and do as good as I can do. And then I just want my placing at the end of the weekend to kind of truly represent what I can do as an athlete. And then I just, you know, have to be happy with that. Then go home, you know, reevaluate, see what I need to work on to, you know, improve on that to the next year. So yeah, I'm going to try to just do my best, basically. It sounds very stupid, but I think it's very hard to set a number because I don't know what I'm going to be doing as well.
Okay, so afterwards you're going to chill out some weeks.
Yeah, there's going to be some months having it a bit more chilled. No, I'm probably going to have like a couple of weeks not doing any training. And then my guess would be probably, like I said, a couple of months where things are a bit more chilled. Because we know the last month now has been very, you know, I do have two rest days a week. One day where we do active recovery and one day complete rest. But now the last month has been, you know, rest days. You have to rest and you have to focus on recovery. So I haven't seen any friends or done things that, you know, I would want to do in my spare time. So I'm definitely going to have some months where I do all the things that I'm kind of miss doing, so that when the season starts again, I've kind of checked it off and I can focus for a couple of months again. But yeah, I'm looking forward to kind of live life a bit.
Yeah, I guess Matt Fraser in some interview, he said that he's taking off from training for a month after the games. Yeah. And just eating like a teddy bear and chilling on the couch doing nothing.
Yeah, I don't think I won't go that extreme, but I'm definitely gonna have some time off, that's for sure.
Okay, so thank you so much for your time. This is very exciting to talk to you, and I will cross my fingers and I will follow your journey. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ja, das ist jetzt schon meine dritte Games-Athletin im Podcast. Tatsächlich so cool. Ich glaube, wir sind jetzt auch alle im Games-Fieber. Denn Anna ist da, Jacqueline ist da und Emma Tall ist da, die auch hier schon im Podcast war, vor circa einem Jahr. Manchmal denke ich mir, ist so krass, jetzt vor einem Jahr oder ein bisschen länger läuft der Podcast schon und ich habe schon so viele coole Gespräche hier geführt, sehr inspirierend, und ich bin einfach so dankbar, dass ich die tollen Frauen und Menschen die Zeit nehmen, um mit mir zu sprechen und ihre Geschichte zu erzählen, und dass ich dich damit inspirieren kann, auch deine Geschichte selbst zu schreiben. Und das ist einfach so wahnsinnig cool. Mir gibt das einfach so, so viel Freude, und ich wollte mich einfach auch mal an dieser Stelle bedanken, dass du dabei bist, dass du dir die Folgen anhörst, und wenn du noch ein bisschen Whey brauchst, dann bestell bei PhD Nutrition mit dem Code POWERGIRL40, wenn du mich supporten möchtest, also wenn du den Podcast und mich supporten möchtest, da freue ich mich auf jeden Fall drüber, und du hast auch was Cooles, ich habe es letztes Mal schon gesagt, mir gefällt gerade das Clear Whey richtig gut in der Sorte Pina Colada. Looking forward to drink a real Pina Colada, but not now. Und ich werde noch ein bisschen Englisch üben. Wünsche dir ein geiles Training und bis zum nächsten Mal.